God has been working this through me kind of over the last 6 months, I want to say. I'd also do some fictional reading, and I had some other reading, you know, along with my Bible study. And I had read this book. It was a historical fiction, but it was biblical historical fiction. So they take the biblical account and kind of added some backstory in around the context of the actual scripture. And it was a story basically following David and his mighty men. And it focused on one guy, Benaniah, and added some thoughts about what he was experiencing as he followed David, as he saw God's plan unfolding. And it was just really interesting, exciting reading. And as I was reading it, though, a couple of times I was like, oh, wait, I don't remember reading that in the scripture. And I want to make sure I wasn't being, you know, kind of taken down a road that wasn't scriptural. And so I went back and I began to read through the whole life of David and began to study that scripture in more in depth, which was really great because as it had been a while since I'd been back through there. And so I learned some new stuff and saw some things from a different perspective from my reading, and basically really got a new insight on this. And one of the things that struck me in David's life, and there's lots of, oh my goodness, there's so many lessons and messages and things from David's life that we can unpack, but I want to look at one area where these things jumped out at me. He was basically on the run from Saul. Saul was trying to kill him because he was supposed to take the throne, and Saul, of course, that was kind of a threat to his power, and Saul wasn't doing exactly what God wanted him to do either. And so during this time when David's on the run, Saul's tried to kill him, and there's two opportunities that David had to take Saul's life. I mean, almost like God delivered him right into his hands. And in both of those instances, he didn't. He didn't follow through on that. And it was God's plan that he didn't. And so I want to look at those a little bit more today. And so so let's go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing on this time as we get into his word. Just help us to unfold this. So God, I pray for your Holy Spirit right now, that you would just help us to understand your word. Lord, that you would just grant your anointing, that the words I would speak would be yours, God. And that you would just help us to apply this to our lives, that we would leave this place changed and challenged, God, by your Spirit. And we just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the first instance is found in 1 Samuel 24, the third and fourth verses. And this is where Saul is hunting David down. I mean, he's got 3,000 men with him, and he's intent on ending this guy. And so David is hiding out in caves and on the run. And so in the scripture it says, he came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I'll give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Wow. I mean, if you were on the run, this guy's trying to kill you, and all of a sudden here he comes right into where you're hiding and just kind of, you know, doing his business and not paying attention to other things, you would think, wow, this is God's plan unfolding. But David didn't. He just cut off a corner of his robe, and there's more to that story we'll unpack in a little bit. In the other instance, David is still on the run, and he finds out that Saul is camped out again with his army, surrounded by his army, sleeping. And in 1 Samuel 26, verse 7 through 12, it says, "So David and Abishai went to the army by night, and there was Saul lying asleep inside the camp with his spear stuck in the ground near his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying around him. Abishai said to David, 'Today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't strike him twice.'" Just given to him, right there, sleeping. Spear, you didn't have to get another weapon. The spear's already right there next to his head. But David says, no, that's not what we're going to do. In verse 9, he says, "But David said to Abishai, 'Don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As surely as the Lord lives,' he said, 'the Lord himself will strike him, or his time will come, and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Now get the spear and water jug that are near his head, and let's go.' So David took the spear and water jug near Saul's head, and they left. No one saw or knew about it, nor did anyone wake up. They were all sleeping because the Lord had put them into a deep sleep." Now, when I read scripture, I try to put myself in the place of those that I'm reading about. And I'll be honest with you, I think in both instances, I think I would have taken him out. I don't know. That's just my gut feeling. This guy has not only, you have to understand, there's some backstory to this that we didn't read. over just in two chapters, Saul has tried to kill David over 12 times. Whether it's himself personally, his own spear, the one that's sticking in the ground next to him. I mean, you know, that seems poetic injustice, right? However, he didn't do it. He said, no, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. God is in control of this. Whether he falls in battle or, you know, some other way, God's going to take care of it. And he trusted God in that. So lots of instances before this that he had good reason, I would say, to follow through on this, to act on this. And then also both Saul and David were both anointed to be king. Saul was originally, it was the king in place now. David was anointed to be the next successor. And so he has, in his mind, you could rationalize this, right? You could say, well, wait, I'm supposed to be king and this is my opportunity. And, you know, next week I'll be the king. But he doesn't do that. He said, no, I'm not going to force God's hand in this. I'm not going to make this plan come about and unfold. I'm going to let God do that. Both instances, God seemingly does deliver Saul into David's hands easily in both cases. And also his men both times encourage him, said, look, this is what the scripture talks about. This is your enemy delivered into your hands. Do with him what you want. You know, they said, this is the time. And he doesn't listen to those outside voices. He listens and stays true to God's plan, that he is going to be the king, that he is anointed to be the leader. And God respects, David respects God's plan as sovereign. So I want to start out today just kind of say, you know, we're a lot like this. There's a plan unfolding in our lives. In fact, God has told us, and every youth in the youth group could tell you that my favorite scripture is Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. I mean, that's God's plan for every single one of us. He has a God-ordained plan that he has for us. Now, that should give you a little bit of hope, because I think sometimes we go through life and we think there's just a bunch of circumstances hitting us and we just kind of have to deal as we go. But you know what? God has a plan for our lives, just as he did for David's life. Now, as Americans, we tend to try and shortcut everything. We like to find the shortest, fastest way to get things done, right? And we begin to apply that thinking, that mindset, to God's plan in our life at times too. Maybe some of us haven't even given thought to what we're going to have for lunch, you know, this afternoon, unless you're at the VBS training. Well, maybe you've thought about it. It's probably hot dogs. But anyway, but you know, God has a plan for our entire life. That's an exciting thing to me, that God has a plan for me that is unique, that's special, that fits my giftings, that is what he wants to see happen in my life. And then it's my job to follow that plan, to seek him out, to find out what it is. And for you, the same thing. For all of us, God has a plan that we need to seek after and find out what's his plan for me? What's his plan for my life? And Psalms, we know that the circumstances happening to us are not just, there's no coincidences, because God is in control. Psalm 37:23-24 says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. Is that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. They're directed. The things that come, the opportunities that face us, God has placed those before us. The options that we have, the choices that we face, God has laid those out before us. And we have to choose him. We have to choose his plan. Because in David's life, here's this, you know, you could rationalize and say, well, this must be how God's working this out. But he knows that the one who's anointed, God takes care of that. You know, it's like nothing can derail that plan because God is in control of it. And so he really, even though his life was in kind of an area of duress and stress, having to go from place to place and hide and run and, you know, be on the lamb kind of from Saul, he still trusted that God had a plan for his life. He didn't give up on that. He could have. He could have said, man, this guy's tried to kill me like 12 times and he's still out after me. I must have done something really bad. But God had a plan for both Saul and David. And so ultimately, waiting on God's timing, that wait, which we hate to do, comes down to trust. It's saying, God, I trust you that you have a plan for me. And I used to put it in this phrasing, like this statement, can you trust God? Can you trust God? The first one, can you, the emphasis being on you, can you trust God? Do you have that within you? Are you able to trust God? Can you say, God, I'm going to lay down my whole life. You do what you want with it. I'm giving it to you. And the other part of that is, can you trust God? Is he trustworthy? Well, God is always trustworthy. He is always faithful to his word. There's not one part of it that isn't going to come to pass. He watches over it to perform it, the word says. I mean, that's God's faithfulness to us. He said, he'll never leave us or forsake us, no matter where we're at, no matter even how far off track we've gotten from that plan. God is still in control. He still loves us. He still cares for us. He still wants to unfold that plan in our lives. And so we have to seek after him. And, you know, sometimes we have to really just go in and say, God, you know, I need your strength. I need your help. And I need your understanding. Because we don't understand all the circumstances that face us. Something's really tough. I mean, if I was in David's place out on the run, I mean, I'm like, why is this happening to me? And we begin to kind of logically go down through, well, I must have done something wrong, or check the boxes of what, you know, how I've displeased God in some way or other. But God's plan, there's so much more depth to it than we realize. In Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, it says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he'll make your path straight. You know, so we're told to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Not just part of it, not just a little bit, not just on Sunday and Wednesday, but all of our heart, all the time, each day, that we say, God, I trust you with every part of my life. You know, because we come up in our minds, we can come up with some great plans for ourselves, may seem awesome, but it's still so far below the mark that God has for us. It's such a, you know, it's just a miss. And unless we're seeking after God's heart and leaning not on our understanding. So God, we need your understanding. So when you're facing a difficult time, when it seems like you're in this waiting period, because we, you know, we look at waiting as something that we have to get over and through and pass as quick as we can. But sometimes that waiting is what God's working in us and through us. So it's something that he wants to do in that process of waiting. Say, God, I need your understanding. I need your grace at this time to be able to endure, to be able to have peace in the midst of this time, to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to rejoice because God has a plan for me, and it's a good plan, and it's not going to harm me. Now, as I read this, because somebody could read this and say, well, trust in the Lord with all your heart, okay, yep, lean not on my own understanding, okay, and in all your ways submit to him, and he'll make my path straight. And some of us read straight as easy. And that's not true. This will make our path straight. It doesn't mean he'll just make everything go smoothly and nothing, you'll have no difficulties. We know that's not true because looking at people who have followed the Lord with their whole heart, all through Scripture, have gone through great difficulties. Tremendous difficulty. And maybe in your own life you've gone through things like that. And you're like, God has brought me through this experience, these hardships, these trials, and I'm stronger in my faith for it. There's a purpose in the process here. And so to say that, you know what, I need God to make my path easy, that's really not scriptural. Now, he helps us. And you'll be strengthened with God's strength through the midst of those hard times, through those times when it seems impossible to wait. And I imagine how many lives are derailed or kind of thrown into turmoil because we haven't waited. We've tried to rush that process. You know, some relationships, you know, somebody's just desperate to be married and they settle for something less than what was God's plan. And then they go through all kinds of hardship. And now God works in that. I mean, he does amazing things with our mistakes. But I think about those things, the decisions, a job decision where we never really sought the Lord. It just seemed like a really good thing. We jumped at it and then we're like, oh, I wish I could get a different job now. Because we didn't ask the Lord about it. We didn't wait because maybe there's something better just around the corner. You know, God is always on time. He's never late, seldom early. He's exactly where he wants to be in our life with timing. And so waiting on the Lord is a difficult thing at times, but we have to trust God with all of our heart to say, God, you have a plan for me. So right now it's difficult. I'm waiting. I don't understand it completely, but I'm not basing this on my understanding. I need the Lord to help me, and I'm going to submit to him in all my ways. And then he's going to make my path straight. He's going to lead me to that plan. He's going to take me straight to it. Now, I don't mean like there's no detours, there's no things along the way. He's going to guide you to that plan. that's going to unfold in your life, and it'll be a good plan. It'll be a great thing for your life. You know, one of the, as Americans, we kind of deal with this. I think across the world, humanity deals with this. We have hardwired into our neural pathways that we have to find a shortcut. We have to do it quicker. We have to do it faster, shorter, whatever, you know, more volume that we can get out of it. And I now if some of you are going, why is there a ketchup bottle sitting on this table? Yes, finally. You're like, okay, good, he's talking about it. You've been sitting here the whole time, not listening to anything else, just staring at this. Well, but this is kind of my example of this whole idea of waiting, because this is Heinz ketchup. And if you are a little bit older, you remember that ketchup used to come, it still does, but it comes in glass bottles, correct? And there was a commercial that I dug up on. I didn't want to play it for you guys because it wasn't that great of quality. But you know that Heinz is the patience, right? The waiting. The waiting for that ketchup to come out of that glass bottle, because it just doesn't come out very well. It's slow. And it's like, but when it comes out, it's great, right? But we, as you know, figure out a way that we can make a squeeze bottle and we can force it out of there as quick as we can. I'm not going to squeeze it. Carpet, I'd be in trouble. Okay. We've got the squeeze bottle so we can accelerate the process. And it's kind of like the example of we try and apply that in everything in our life, including God's plan. We're like, I'm going to squeeze it out. I'm going to get there faster. You know, young people get called to, you know, they go to camp and God just puts a call in their life, like, oh, I'm going to be a youth pastor. I'm going to go on the mission field. And it doesn't happen the next day. Or they start checking in the process, like, oh yeah, well, you have to be a missionary associate for a couple of years. You've got to be discipled. You need some biblical training. And they're like, well, I thought I was just going to go to, you know, Africa tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. Besides, you're not ready anyway. God has to grow you through this process of waiting. And in David's life, it was the same thing. There was so much he had to go through before he was even ready to be king. He was young. And so God is working in this plan. And for us to try and squeeze it out, it's going to take away from what God has for us in our lives. And, you know, we feel like it's something that we're trying to force. And God says, no, no, just let me take care of it. Psalm 31:14-15, it says, but I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, for those who pursue me. So I trust in you, Lord. It says, my times are in your hands. My life is in your hands. The time that I have, I'm giving it to you, God. And if I have to wait, I have to wait. But what happens in that waiting time, right? We grow. We learn to trust God more. And it's not just doing nothing. I think I want to say that. The waiting is not just doing nothing. Because you could take that tact and say, well, okay, so I'm in this waiting, so I'm just going to do anything. Well, that's not at all what God wants us to do. There's something for us to do, always. God is always on the move. And so, you know, in David's instance, David's men in both times told him, kill him now. Look at, he's just right there. He's not even paying attention. He's sleeping. Here's the spear. Like, all you got to do is go like that. And he's out of your picture, and you move on to being the king. But he didn't do that. He waited, and he did other things. Though it says that he went when Saul went into the cave, and David crept up behind him and he cut off a corner of his robe. And now he had some regret in that, because he's like, you know, he kind of touched the Lord's anointed. I shouldn't have done that even. But there was a purpose in it. You know, and while Saul was sleeping, they took the spear and the water. I mean, that was his defense and his life, in a sense. This to say, you know, God delivered you to my hands twice. I didn't act on it because it's in his hands. It's in God's hands. Both of our destinies, both of our plans are in his hands. And so he did something. He didn't just let, well, I'm just going to keep running and keep running and keep running. He tried to illustrate to Saul that, you know, God has a plan here. And Saul both times is like, you're right, what am I doing? And then turned on it and went back after him again and again. But he did something in the midst of that. And so while you're sitting in a time of waiting, when we're waiting for God to, you know, unfold this plan, the next step or the next, you know, journey that we're on, we have to do something. And God wants us to be faithful, to trust him, to not lean on our own understanding, because our own minds will defeat us every time. We'll think, oh, you know what, this is taking too long, and we'll go, all right, we'll grab that thing and we'll try and make it happen. And I know that in my own life I've done that in different decisions and things that, you know, I thought, oh man, I got to make this happen. And it never turns out as good as I think it will. But God's plan is always better. And if I just waited on his timing, sometimes just a little bit more, it would have been a great blessing in my life. And sometimes that waiting has to take place. It's what we go through. So God has a plan for us, and waiting on it has a purpose. Waiting on God's timing always has purpose. So it might be the testing and a strengthening of our faith. I mean, that is part of what we go through in our life. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life the Lord has promised to those who love him." You know, that process of going through the waiting is a testing of our faith. Are we going to stay true to God's plan? Are we going to stay true to following him in the midst of all of the nothing, the kind of waiting, that dry time maybe even it seems like, when we're like, man, I just don't hear God like I did or like I used to, and I'm just kind of waiting and waiting, and what's going on? Are we going to keep seeking God? You know, that's the other part of it, is it causes us to seek God. It should. Not turn away from him. It should cause us to say, you know what, then I got to press in harder. I got to know him more. I got to get closer to the Lord and my relationship with him, so that I don't miss when he says, okay, now step forward. So I don't miss his word when he says, well, wait a little bit longer. You know, when I was younger, I remember Sunday school, and they said, well, God answers prayer in three ways. Yes, no, wait. Which is simple for a kid, we understand it. But it's somewhat true. But God does, yeah, he says, okay, go ahead. Or no, don't. And, you know, the Holy Spirit checks us when we begin to do something that we shouldn't do. It's kind of like that, you know, you're just about to step on a Lego, you can feel a corner of it. Don't keep stepping down. But if you do, there's the resultant pain and jumping around. But it's listening to the Holy Spirit and saying, God, I want to follow you with all my heart, whether it's a wait, whether it's exciting, awesome things happening one right after the other, or just a waiting time. And it's going to cause us to seek him. In Jeremiah 29:11, I told you, you know, that we have this great plan. God's word is true. He has a plan for every single person. There's no one exempt from that. But we kind of stop right there. A lot of times we don't read further. We should always read everything in context. So if you take the next couple of verses, 12 through 14, it tells us the next steps of this. And it says in verse 12, it says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." So we're told, you know, it's that we've got to seek God. And it has to be a daily thing. It's just like, God, I can tell in my own life when I start, you know, messing up or getting depressed or whatever it might be, I can go, I haven't really been seeking the Lord. I haven't really been reading my word. I haven't really been praying like I should. The word says that it says, I have this great plan for you. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. In verse 13, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. Here we are again, with all of our heart. Everything that's within us, we desire to know God's plan. So God, help me to understand it. Help me not to go with my own understanding, but to trust you and to acknowledge you in all my ways, to submit to you with my whole heart. And it says, I'll be found by you. It says, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I'll gather you from the nations and places where I've banished you, declares the Lord, and I'll bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And I think this speaks to David's situation too, is he's out on the run, and he's like, you know what? Seek me, you'll find me, and I'm going to bring you back. You know, because sometimes we get off track. We've shortcutted God's plan, and it didn't go well. And so you might be sitting here and going, as I have, wow, I really blew it. Now what? I guess God doesn't have any use for me. Or, you know, I've derailed the plan, and now I'm down to some lesser plan. I don't know what we might be thinking. But God's plan, just like in David's life, is set. And we just have to keep seeking it. And he says, you know, if you mess up, he says, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we move forward, forgetting what is behind, pressing on toward that high calling in Christ. And so, if we take this, and what God's saying is to seek him, he'll bring us back from those places of captivity, from those places of, you know, where we messed up. And maybe back to a place of waiting even. You know, it's like, yeah, I forgive you, and let's go another step, and we're going to wait, and we're going to heal, and we're going to grow, and then we can take the next step forward. And we don't like to do that. again, we're back to the, we want to get it done quick. But God's process sometimes takes time. Oftentimes takes time. And so in waiting on that, seeking Him, it says that we're to, we'll experience this peace that comes with that. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it's to seek God, and in return, we have that peace that passes all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds. And so the scripture here says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So in the midst of this waiting time that we might be in, it says, don't be anxious about it. Don't worry. Like, hey, this isn't going fast enough. Don't be anxious, but present our requests to God, our petitions, the concerns of our heart. God is not afraid of our questions. He's not afraid of us pouring out our heart to Him and saying, God, I don't understand this. Why am I going through this? Why is this taking so long? And He'll give us peace. It's promised in the Word. It says He'll guard our hearts. Don't let our hearts be troubled. He'll guard our minds, because sometimes we wear ourselves out thinking about all of this and why and this is going on in my life. And it wears us out. We can't sleep. Sleepless nights because of not seeking God's plan, not trusting Him, not saying, God, it's in your hands. Nothing can derail that. If I keep saying, God, I'm submitting to you, I'm giving you my life, keep leading me step by step, ordering my steps, we're going to end up where God wants us to be. That's the awesome thing about this. And it says, I'll give you this peace that is going to guard your heart. It's going to guard your mind. It's going to give you that unbelievable peace in the midst of a situation where you maybe shouldn't have it. I think that was in David's life. You know, he's being pursued all over the place. He's like, you know what, God still has a plan. And it wasn't easy. It was hard. You're sleeping in caves. You're on the run. People trying to kill you. Everywhere you go, people are like, yeah, he's over here now. Here comes Saul after him. But he had peace. God had a plan in his life. So sometimes in the waiting, shortcutting it, God has he still has a plan for us. And in the midst of all of that, Psalm 27, 13 through 14 is, I think, we can proclaim this in our lives. It says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. As the worship team is coming, I just want us to think about that in our own lives. I mean, this is the promise of God. It says, remain confident in this, that I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord. I'm going to see that good plan coming about in my life as I'm encouraged to wait for the Lord, to be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And I think in the midst of all of the things that we go through, all of the things that we face that cause us to go, why am I waiting? Why is this obstacle in my way? God wants us just to wait on Him. So they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. You know, that's what God wants to do in our lives.